It is good to see everyone here this evening. Now, tonight's lesson, I kind of shortened it up a little bit because I know, some folks are going to go see the fireworks, but I was also concerned that if you live on that side of the town, you might not. It's going to take you a long time to get back the more and more people get in there. So I want to begin with just a short little story here, and it's not a flattering story. But sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. All right, so this would have been about 3 years ago when we lived in Lyles. I was preaching at Clearview. I had been not feeling well for several days, and I didn't eat anything hardly. And I was just super hungry. I was really hungry. And, well, right before I had to go leave and pick up Grace over at the middle school, one of the ladies from church brought an apple pie. And she said, well, I made you this. Well, thank you very much, and it was still warm, and I put it in the passenger seat, and so I go to get Grace, and for whatever reason, I got there a little bit early, and once you're in that line, you're not getting out, right, until school's out, and you go through the whole thing, and I'm just starving. You know, if you've ever been so hungry that you start to get weak, you almost feel like you're going to get sick, that kind of hungry. And I got an apple pie sitting next to me. So I said, I'm going to have a piece of that pie. But then I thought, well, how am I going to eat the pie? And so I'm thumbing through, looking, maybe there's a plastic fork in here. Maybe there's nothing. Well, I'll use my pocket knife. Well, where's my pocket knife? So, hungry, and I know I had another half an hour to wait, and I'm probably embarrassing Chris to tell him this story. I got fingers. And so anyways, I poke into this apple pie, and as soon as I go to take a bite, like three people walk by, and they're looking at me. This guy in the car eating an apple pie with his fingers. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, right? You just got to, it doesn't matter what people think, and you just got to do what you got to do. Now, I was thinking about that story as we're talking about Bible study here this evening in our Acts series. Just looking at these three verses here, simple yet powerful, by way of example, Acts chapter 17. So we're talking about Bible study. How do you approach Bible study, Bible knowledge? Bible application, it's critical. I would almost hope that we would have that approach of do what you got to do. Do what's necessary to get into God's Word. Right? Just whatever it takes. Rearrange your life if you have to. Wake up 15 minutes early in the morning. Go to bed 15 minutes late. However you got to rearrange things, you got to make time to be like these Bereans that we read about here. You got to do what it takes to get into you what you need. And, it's just one of those things we have to be honest in our assessment of our Bible study. Is it shrinking? Is it growing? Is it stagnant? Where are you? Right? We need to be people that diligently seek God. Right? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We've got to be a people that diligently seek the things of God. And we need to be reminded that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, we need to test ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. Now, how do you test yourself, if you can't or won't take the test or even study for the test? Right, so these are some things here that we need to be mindful of. And let's go ahead and read our text one more time here. Acts 17, verses 10 through 12. I'm reading out of the New King James. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. They ran out of Thessalonica. Right, they booted out of town, basically. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded, or, depending on your translation, noble-minded, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness, or eagerness. and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so, what things? Well, what they were being taught, right? Therefore, many of them believed. They believed because they were noble-minded, they were fair-minded, they were willing to study to see if what they were being taught was true. So the result of that, verse 12, is many of them believed. Now, the Bereans had two things going for them that I want to look at as two main points briefly this evening. Two things going for them that we need to have in our lives concerning our Bible study. Right? They received the word with all eagerness or readiness. And then secondly, they searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught, the things that they were hearing, were true. Easy, straightforward points right here. You know, of course, some of us, some Christians have better study habits than others. You know, that's only natural. Right? Different backgrounds, different education levels. You know, I don't think that's the point. I think the point is having that readiness to try. Right? That eagerness to find truth, you know, to search God diligently. I believe that's the standard. That's what we're asked to do. And, you know, one of my goals as a preacher or when I'm teaching is to teach God's word to you, to challenge you, right? And to convict you. And, you know, if you want somebody that's just going to tell you things to tickle your ears, you got the wrong person. And what makes me happy is I'm glad that this congregation's not like that, right? Or they don't want someone to just have their ears tickled, right? And so whenever I give a biblical truth, you know, you guys accept that. And that makes me happy, you know, and that's one of my goals as a gospel preacher is to show you God's word, to use it to convict, to change, to challenge us, you know, and I'm preaching to myself. Right? And it's not just about having Bible knowledge. Right? We're not here so we can win a Bible trivia contest. That's not why we're here. Bible knowledge is not going to save you. Rather, it's how you apply it. You know, Jesus said to the Jews in John 5, beginning in verse 39, he said, "You search the scriptures daily because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." These people knew their Bible, right? They knew the scripture. They knew what God told them concerning the coming Messiah, right? Yet in their study, they never let it bring them to Jesus, right? They failed to apply it. So here's our first of two main points. You know, how do you receive the Word of God? I want to go back to Acts chapter 2. I think any study throughout the book of Acts needs to continuously come back to that first example, whatever the topic, that we have here on the day of Pentecost. Right? Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. But if you backed up to verse 14, Peter, he stands up with the 11, raised his voice, said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Right? He's going to preach the gospel to them, the truth. Verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Right? And then we see the results of that in verse 37. They're cut to the heart. They were convicted by the words of the gospel, the words of the truth concerning Jesus. And we know what we're called to do in response to that, of course. Repent and be baptized. And you can keep going through here. You know, there's those that gladly received those words and were baptized, verse 41. And that brought them to be added to the Lord's church, verse 47. So then that number continued to grow. And what I want you to think about here is these Bereans over in Acts chapter 17. Now understand this. They had to work hard to search the scriptures. right? But yet in verse 12, many believed, right? They responded to that message. Now, remember, at that point, they didn't have the complete Bible with the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, in one easy-to-reference book. You know, they had to search the Old Testament to see if the things they're being taught concerning Jesus were true. Now, you can find Jesus in every book of the Old Testament, right? It's all leading us to a faith in Christ. And of course, the words of the apostles that they were teaching, and they knew that they were messengers from God. But you come to our text here, we see Paul having been beaten, jailed in Philippi, run out of Thessalonica, and now we come to Berea. Right, and Luke tells us that these Jews were more noble, right, noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, because those in Thessalonica rejected the message of the messenger. Now, the word noble basically means honorable here in verse 11, candid, open-minded. Because what made these Jews so noble or fair-minded was the way that they received the word and the way they examined it to find truth. And so these were truth-seeking people here. Not self-seeking, but truth-seeking. What a great example for us. You know, let that be said about us, that we're not self-seeking. We're not about softening the rough edges on the truth of the gospel to bring in people, right? We're a truth-seeking people, and we get that truth out there in truth and love, right? The standard Ephesians 4, verse 15, and we can rest at ease and peace knowing that we're doing what God wants us to do. We're doing what God wants us to do. These individuals here had a desire to hear the Christian message. Their ears were open. Their minds were open. They were ready to receive that message. They were ready and willing to receive. You know, many times in the ministry of Jesus, and again, many times in the book of Revelation, you know, Jesus said it. We hear that phrase, you know, he who has ears to hear. In other words, that means someone that's willing to receive the message. And these folks here, great example for us, we're ready to receive that message. You know, it's not about being a great orator, right? It's not about being a great teacher. It's about getting the truth of the message out there to people that are ready to receive that message in its fullness, in its entirety here. Now, our second and final main point here that I want us to think about this evening, a little personal examination here, and that is basically, do you search the Scriptures daily like the noble-minded Bereans? You know, does that describe you? Right, the Bereans here not only wanted to hear the Christian message, but they wanted to make sure what Paul was telling them was true. Right, and you know, the only way they could test this message about the Messiah, right, was going to the Scripture. And again, I think it's relevant to note that the only Bible they had at that time is, you know, what we call the Old Testament. And so I think it's important to note here Galatians, the third chapter, verses 21 through 25. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Talk about the new covenant. Therefore, the law was our tutor. The Old Testament was our tutor, right? To bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. The old law. You know, the law of the Old Testament was given to bring us to Christ in faith. Jesus Christ, again, can be seen in every book of the Old Testament. You know, we need it and you know, still need the Old Testament, of course, to have a deeper understanding of Christ and the New Covenant We learn about the purposes of his life and his ministry. But the Jews here, go back to Acts 17, the Jews in Thessalonica, they wouldn't search Scripture. And why I wanted to point out, you know, again, they didn't have the New Testament like we do. They really had to work at it. Right? I think in a very practical sense, it was harder for them to do the searching than it is for us today. And I do that by just pointing out the blessing that we have right here, all together. Right? Not even in scroll form. We got it in book form. Right? We can reference, we can study, we can look at it. Even though it was harder for them, they did the work. They dug deep into God's Word. They had a willingness to do that, to sift through the Scripture. Right? And the Bible wasn't just a book. Or as the Hebrew writer puts it, you know, they understood the Word of God was living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the question for us that I want to begin to wind down this lesson is, you know, do we have an open heart? Are we willing to receive God's Word? Are we willing to study the Scriptures daily? You know, what's our personal Bible study look like? And I'm sure most of us, you know, would say, yeah, we're believers in the truth. We stand behind the truth of the Bible, right? You know, I think sometimes we say those things, but, you know, being honest, is it true? Because it really is true if I'm a constant student of the Bible. That shows that my words, that I believe my words concerning the truth of the Bible. And so we think about the, you know, our relationship with God. You know, if we're like these Bereans, you know, you have an understanding of your the ever-present help of God through His Spirit, through God's Word, Romans 8 and verse 27. But think about the contentment, peace, and joy that comes from having a deep relationship with God through what's revealed in His Word. Right? It begins with studying God's Word and accepting and receiving God's Word. Right? As James reminds us here. And understand, remember, we looked at this in our James study. This passage here is in reference to God's Word. Right? You look at this contextually, this isn't talking about how we treat each other. Let's talk about how we respond to the Word of God, right? He's talking to brethren there in verse 19. Let every man be swift to hear the Word of God, slow to speak against the Word of God, and slow to wrath against the Word of God. That's what that passage is all about. Right? Do you receive God's Word? And you jump over to verse 22, be doers of God's Word and not hearers only. Right? And we can look into verse 25, into the perfect law of liberty, right? And that's what's available to us. Now, when we think about what we have access to here concerning God's Word, hopefully we have the right mindset to receive it, like the Bereans. And we can be modern-day Bereans, right? Not just in word, but also in action. And, you know, let it be said of us, members of the Lord's church, let it be said of us once again that we are, you know, people of the book. Right? It used to be said about the Lord's church, you know, a lot of folks, they might not have agreed with us, but they would say those people know their Bibles. That's a people of the book. You know, let that be said of us and our willingness, our mindset to get deep into God's Word. This evening, God's Word tells you if you haven't obeyed the gospel, that's what you need to do. You need to put on Christ in baptism. If that's a call for you this evening, we'd love to help you with that. Help you along in that journey. If you've done that and you've fallen away and you're ready to come back home, don't hesitate. Let us help you with that also. Let us show you the love of God. If you have a need this evening, please let someone know as we stand, as we sing.